Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Charathon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Charathon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Charathon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. It is time to check in with our friend, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners. We're finally getting the good sun. You know, it's one of the things I think a lot of our listeners understand and enjoy is that when spring comes and all the leaves come out, it's a good reminder, I think, certainly in terms of metaphor of the resurrection. And every time the sun comes up, it's another good sign and reminder of the resurrection. I've heard this from some other people. I don't know if this was an original source from some older philosopher or Christian author, but I'm not sure why it hit me this morning. I was up in Lansing, Michigan, at a conference on the Michigan District on Let's Talk Life, and gave my a little bit of a discussion on infertility issues. Having in our family gone through that kind of thing, still struggling over some of those issues. We talked about, you know, Resurrection Sunday, of course, is something that we celebrate every day, but there are reminders out there in the natural world that God created, and that certainly one of them is spring, when all of the flowers, the trees, and the grasses start to turn green, and flowers, especially the tulips and the roses, get all their wonderful colors, the daffodils and so forth. And then, of course, every morning when the sun comes up, there's another great reminder of the resurrection. So not that that's all related to what we're going to talk about, but everything is related to a Christian in that story. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting little observation that was going on up there at Let's Talk Life, and certainly it all began with Jesus.
Well, it is. I mean, and it all does come back to the resurrection. It all comes back to ultimately to Jesus, whatever we talk about here, right?
Well, it does. And I think that so many people in our society today, I can recall back when I was taking confirmation instruction, I think you probably can too, and certainly all of your work that you've done prior to working at KFUO, I never really heard the emphasis on Jesus. I just, you know, you go through catechesis and you hear about Jesus, but when you get right down to from Genesis to Revelation, obviously that's the thread that runs through all of Scripture and the confessions. I was at St. Paul Wood River, Pastor Schultz, yesterday with my wife worshiping there, and they had confirmation, and that was, another, because that's where I was confirmed back in 1958. By Pastor Beck. And so it was always a good reminder to review confirmation. So I'm hoping that all of your listeners who have gone through, whether junior confirmation, as we used to call it, or adult, or even through high school or whatever age they were, and studied God's Word and the confessions, would be reminded that all of this is about our apostolic confession to death, that this is what we believe, teach, and confess. So it's always a good reminder for all of us. So what I have this morning, and I realize that for some of your listeners, again, here we go, but this is kind of what's going on in the bioethical area, and I think it calls to task that all of our readers, and I would encourage them, if they have a copy of the large catechism, certainly the small catechism to be sure, with its explanations, that were penned way back in the late 1800s. To study this in terms of the assault on the first article, now this doesn't negate obviously the second or third, because every time we confess one of the symbols, the Nicene, Athanasian, or the Apostles' Creed, certainly they're all connected in Christ. So one of the things that is happening, and this is just briefly, over in China, and here now they're starting in the United States, I mentioned CRISPR. It's a rather complicated acronym. But China scientists are attempting to modify human embryos, and they have succeeded with four of them partially. And some of the scientists over here in the United States, that they're talking about how science is going forward, that this type of approach is medically warranted. And, of course, this gets into the whole eugenic movement that began here in the United States back in the early teens, back 19-teens, 1915 and so forth. Should we be manipulating the created embryo in the petri dish to suit our personal desires? So that's something that's going on, that probably within another generation they will be modifying some sperm and some eggs and certainly in some embryos, either to help people with certain genetic disorders, or they will be doing this certainly as they're doing now more specifically for sex selection and enhancing certain characteristics. This is all terribly terrifying, because people are becoming less and less enchanted with that we are made by God, and that messing around with what he's made gets into this whole issue of Satan telling Eve that God really saved. So I think we need to go back and continue to study. Certainly I love the first article and what it says in the Lord's Catechism. The second thing is, briefly, in Canada and certainly down here in the United States, through embryonic sex selection, infant sex selection is what they call it, there is this movement to electively select against females over against males. The ratio is growing to the point where there's five males to every female that is conceived. And, of course, this is done in the petri dish. So, once again, this impacts the whole issue of assisted reproductive technology, and that we are, you know, from our viewpoint, studying the Nicene Creed, of course, we are begotten by God and not made. So we don't want to have this technology drive us in our procreation, but the Lord, in terms of his procreative desire, and that, of course, gets into issues of infertility, barrenness, and so forth, which is a huge struggle for a lot of couples. But we certainly want to say that we don't want the technology to drive our barrenness. And because I know there are probably listeners who have had grandchildren or children through some of this technology. And so we want to make sure that our conscience knows nothing but the gospel. The last one is something that really is a scandal that is starting to hit all fertility clinics, and it's coming out of Atlanta. And it's through a fertility clinic that is one of the largest sperm bank issuers in the United States and the world. It's called Zytex Park, and they're in Atlanta and New Jersey. And they have recently misnamed a donor. They even give the number of the donor. They're all advertised by numbers. This one happens to be, and this is public, 9623. And they said he was, you know, brilliant man, IQ of 160 and degrees and all kinds of a PhD candidate in neuroscience. Turns out that he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and narcissistic personality disorder and grandiose delusions. And the family that found out about this, that had used his sperm, and apparently he has fostered more than 32 children, this man. Of course, they're leveling a lawsuit at this company, and some people, I suspect, when you look at this, they say, well, that doesn't affect me. Even if it doesn't affect me or you or your listeners, it doesn't make it right. And so the point here is that in our country, egg and sperm donation is becoming more and more pronounced because couples are saying they're having struggle with infertility, and so when they get into this, it's not just an issue of using somebody else's sperm or egg, but in the process, they're finding people that if we're going to do this, let's find someone who is white or black or Caucasian, Indian, whatever family background, ethnic background they have, and let's find somebody smart, good-looking, and ensures us that this child certainly will have some characteristics of us, but also be smart and be able to carry on a very productive life. So these are some of the things that are going on, and I think this certainly reflects back once again to the first article and living the life of Christ in this world.
It all comes back to relatively, well, in some ways, very simple things. It all comes back to you know, if we kept it simple rather than complicated and trying to, well, in a sense, try to play God, would it be so complex?
No, it wouldn't be so complex. And I think, once again, and one of the things, Andy, that I'm emphasizing in my pastoral theology class, and the students are finally catching on, even though they have call day coming up next week, you know, where their brains and their minds are thinking of other things, which is good. I'm glad they're thinking about the call that God will give them through the church. I think, once again, it's the issue, when we baptize, it also says in Matthew, and teach. And I think all Christians are teaching not only by the life that they live and the example that they live, like Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the Greek word there is the word all of us are familiar with, and that's called mimetase. And so we're not Jesus, although Luther calls us little Jesus, in the sense that we basically, as C.S. Lewis says, we ingest Christ through his holy word. And that's what we do. We eat his scrolls of life, which are the scriptures. And so in that context, of course, we have to continue. You know, we talk about what's your baptism date, and, oh, when I was baptized, but are we living that life? And in so doing, we're teaching, and are we sharing this with other people, whether regardless of how old we are? And I think this is an area where I really know in my personal life, sometimes I've not always followed through, but to follow through in baptism with teaching, and that simply is a Christian witnessing in many and various ways. So that's pretty basic. You're right, and it's pretty simple. We don't need to make it complex. Jesus used normal, everyday means to teach us to live the life of Christ, water, you know, wine, seeds, ground, you know, all these things that are very basic, and I think that's a great example that you've mentioned, is to go back to the basics.
Well, speaking of I'm glad you mentioned our seminary students and call day coming up, and your teaching, are you planning on teaching at all during this summer quarter as well?
Well, I have an Ethnic Immigration Institute's technology class that I teach. It's pretty much an outcome-based education class. They have many books to read. We're in contact via emails. They turn their papers in. I get back comments to them. I talk to them. I call them on the phone or through the emails. That's how that class is pretty well conducted. These are young men who, and some, I might say older, that is, let's say in their 40s or 50s, that are serving in various places like overseas in Kazakhstan, in Africa, in China. They're here in the States for a while, and then they go back and serve the Lord in the various ethnic contexts where they're doing ministry. So it's a rather long, several-year courses where they go through not just here at this seminary, but at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. So it's going to be it's always fun to engage and talk with these men, because you learn stuff about over in Russia and Kazakhstan, as I mentioned, and China and Africa, about their culture that you just never think about.
You're a lifelong learner, aren't you?
Oh, well, so are you. I mean, this is what you're doing here. You're teaching well there at this time and other programs that you have, and I think this is one of the great benefits of KFUO. It's a great teaching tool, Christ.
Well, thanks, Dr. Weiss. Always great to talk with you. God's blessings on your week.
And you too. Godspeed. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the Daily New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time.